Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good morning, or good night, depending on where you are in the world. My name is Jawanza, and I am so very, very excited to be able to speak to you once again. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, depending again on where you are. Have a fabulous show that I would like to share with you today. Now, this is a re-airing of a show that we actually did back in November of last year. It was actually November the 7th of last year. My special guest was Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah, and we were actually talking about healing family. Again, so this is a rebroadcast of that show, so no, you won't be able to ask the questions of the guest, but you can listen. And my wife Yvette and I, we really enjoyed this show. Did you enjoy the show, honey?
Yes, it was a fabulous show, and it's very informative. So for those of you who just, you know, have been seeking and trying to find answers to questions that you have concerning how can I help my family, or what is it that I'm going through, what is it that maybe my family member is going through, I think this is a very encouraging and positive show to listen to, and we hope you're blessed from it.
Absolutely. It's one of those shows that answers the why to certain questions that we might have concerning why this, why that, how could this person be this way, or why is that person that way? Well, this is a show that can answer the why to some of those questions. Again, the guest is Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah, and we're going to be talking about healing the family. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Jawanza for Life. I am very, very excited this evening to have the opportunity to have as my guest on this show someone who is, I'm going to use the term, a life changer. I mean, a person who can, if you listen to the words, and not just listen to the words, but actually act upon what it is that you're hearing, you can actually change your life, you can change your family's life, and you can live a much better quality life than one that you might be currently living. My special guest today is a nutritionist. He's also a health counselor. He's a priest, a lecturer, a teacher, an educator, and he's gone all across this country teaching people and enhancing the quality of people's lives with the information that he's bringing. Today, we're going to be talking about healing the family. And my brother is, I want to get to him real quick, so I'm going to move out of the way so we can get into this awesome interview that I know it's going to be. He's doing a workshop this Sunday in Philadelphia. My brother's name is Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah, and he's doing a workshop in Philadelphia, and he's going to be teaching about healing the family. So I want to get to him, introducing, ladies and gentlemen, Shechem Tepraim Sa'ah. Welcome to Jawanza for Life, my brother.
Thank you very much, brother. Thanks for having me. And thanks to the guests.
Thank you very much, my brother, for agreeing to be on today. I know you have a busy schedule preparing, I know, for the lecture that's coming up this weekend, a very important lecture indeed. Brother, again, the title of the lecture is Healing the Family. Now, you know, a lot of times when people think of healing, well, they have to be healed from something. There has to be some sort, something that's manifesting as a symptom that indicates that there is a healing that needs to take place. If you could just give an overview pretty much of, well, how does one know, what are some of the manifestations in behavior that would let one know that, well, there is a healing that needs to take place in the family?
Well, I think we could literally walk the streets of any city in this country and ask someone, and they could probably give you that. You could ask a child, and they could probably tell us that, right? Because we all know them. We just don't think about them that way, you know. I mean, I would say one of the major issues that we have in our families, I mean, looking at our families are in a crisis, and we know that very well because of the kind of issues that we have, the kind of struggles that we have, you know. But one of the major things that we look at in the family that tend to undermine the overall functionality of the family is the first one, I would say, our emotions and our attention. We have a lot of emotion and a lot of tensions in our families, right, that cause a lot of confusion, inability to come together and work together to even and to develop the clarity and the reasoning ability to be able to see what we need to do to address the issues. And that's fundamental. We often tend to look at health challenges mainly from a physical, from a disease pathological standpoint, and yes, that is there. But the question is, in life itself, you will always have some type of quote-unquote challenges. So how do you deal with those challenges? You have to deal with them in a very calm, in a very reasonable, in a very reflective type of way to be able to address the issue. So one of the first at the very, very top of the issue that I see in terms of people that I talk to, people I have counsel, right, from the standpoint of a spiritual counselor as well as from the standpoint of a health counselor, is all the emotional tension and anxiety and the frustration and the worry, right, that undermines our capacity to see clearly and to be reasonable and address health issues. And, of course, along with that, we just move forward from that standpoint. That translates into a lot of bad choices in terms of diet, in terms of health habits, in terms of relationships within the families, in terms of being able to determine our goals and our aspiration as a body, as a unit. Right? These seem to be relatively simple things, but what I find myself doing when I always sit down with someone in a counseling situation, irrespective of what the name health illness they may have, right, is the emotional frustration, the confusion, just the lack of knowledge, you know, in terms of what they should be doing, how they should be doing, especially on a male-female type of relationship, and it becomes even more complicated when you have children involved.
You know,
I know I said a lot there.
Yeah, you did. You did. But and for those who, I just want to say that the show's our archive. You can go back and listen to this this show again as many times as you like. Baba, you notice that oftentimes you look at certain families, and in many families, that there is a history of, quote, dysfunction, end quote, that dates back generations, okay? You might have a grandmother who was had a dysfunctional family, you know what I mean? That child, her child grew up in a dysfunctional family, and then it keeps, you know, the cycle keeps perpetuating itself, and you have this long line of dysfunction and manifesting as with these symptoms of alcoholism, drug abuse, you know, whatever. I've read statistics where it's stated that as African Americans, for example, we had the highest infant mortality rate, the highest dropout rate, the highest murder rate, the highest incarceration rate. It's, you know, all of these things are symptoms of something that, as you're speaking to, that goes much deeper than the symptom, but oftentimes people are blamed for the symptom. For example, if somebody's an alcoholic, you know, they may be blamed. That person is, oh, they just, why don't you just stop, you know, exercise some willpower, you know, and we know that, of course, the will is dealing with totally another aspect of the individual. But when you see all of this, this history, this long history of dysfunctional behavior, in your travels, how has it been in terms of actually breaking that? When you're speaking to people, because I know that the information that you're bringing is very powerful, do you see the light come on, for lack of a better term on my part, when you're speaking to them like, oh, you know, when you share something with somebody, with an audience, and then you can see maybe in the faces or either in their responses that the light has gone on, you know, that, oh, okay,
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
I know exactly what you're saying. What I always tend to say is that more important than information that I give you or I talk about, it be specific herbs, be it nutraceuticals, different vitamins, supplements, etc., more important than that is the change in the perspective. When I do a consultation, when I do a lecture series, right, what I'm interested in when I talk to individuals is a change in perspective. Because if I could change your perspective, then I can motivate you to move. I could unearth a blockage, a darkness there that's allowing you to continue a certain behavior pattern. So my major focus is to change the perspective. I always say that if I cannot change your perspective, right, then I haven't served you well, you know. So more important is, like you said, we have a certain perspective about how we approach life, and that perspective is tied into a whole behavior pattern, a motor functional way of thinking that just keeps us locked in. You talked about different pathological patterns that's passed on from generation to generation. You hear people say, well, you know, my mother had diabetes, my father had, my great-grandfather had diabetes, my great-grandmother had diabetes, et cetera, right? So therefore it runs in my family, and therefore I'm going to have diabetes, so there's a strong tendency towards having diabetes. I am acknowledging that that tendency is there. But how you feed and nurture that tendency will determine when it promotes itself. So just like we have certain pathological and physical tendencies that's expressing themselves through the genetic line, and you're not a slave to that, we also have certain emotional and psychological and philosophical disease patterns that is passed down from generation to generation. So most of our physical ill health, if not the cause, is promoted and sustained by that philosophical toxic philosophical pattern that we pass down from generation to generation. And that's really at the root of it, you know. So when I always give my lectures on health, I always try to make sure I try to address the some essential issues, some essential foundational issues, right, that we could build on. The whole concept of when we talk about family health, you know, healing the family, if there's no harmony, there's no harmony and peace in the family, then the family's not healed. I don't care if it seemed to be free and absent of diseases, heart disease, obesity, you know, in terms of reproductive health, erectile dysfunction, or if a young lady have a problem conceiving, if there's tension and there's no harmony and joy among the interaction between the male and the female and the children, then the family is ill. You know, if the family doesn't come together and work together, they have meetings and they have a unified goal and aspirations, in terms of what they're trying to accomplish, if they cannot unify because of the emotional tension that they're having, you know, then the family is ill. If it doesn't manifest itself as a nurturing and caring and supportive environment for the male towards the female and vice versa for the children, the child is ill. Right? If there's no sense of order and therefore justice in the family, then the family is ill. Right? So we could talk about, you know, taking vitamin C to help deal with this cold, this chronic situation you have with a cold that's constantly coming. Or we could talk about some things like pregnenolone or 7-keto, DHEA, and some other things that we could do in terms of increasing one's hormonal level. But if we don't have all of those things in place as prerequisite, I mean, that's the toxic basket that all these ill health patterns fit in. So, yes, we do have to deal with specific supplements in terms of herbs, in terms of dietary changes, in terms of nutraceuticals, right, homeopathic remedies, mm-hmm. whatever, to address these issues. But if we don't have the courage to deal with the fundamental issues that's causing us to think incorrectly and behave incorrectly, then we're going to stay in this vicious cycle of health and poor health and poor vitality. And we have to move if we want to survive as a people.
You know, I want to give the number for people to call in if you have questions for those who might be listening online and you'd like to speak with Shechem Tepraim Saab. The number here in studio is 347-324-5727. That's 347-324-5727. Now, Bobby, you mentioned, we're talking about family, healing the family. And when we talk about family, we'll assume that, for the sake of discussion, that family consists of man, woman, and children, possibly children. Now, mm-hmm. oftentimes when you take people coming together, oftentimes, you know, from whatever their, backgrounds may be, you know, people grow up a certain way. Their patterns are formed in their mind, their behavior. They may pick up behavior patterns based on what they saw in their own home. It could be watching the mother or the father. How I've heard people who might have been abusive brothers say, well, that's how I saw my father, you know, respond. I actually read an article where Chris Brown, the entertainer, was saying that the reason that he behaved in the way that he did towards his situation with Rihanna was that that's what he saw in his home. Oftentimes you might have women that relate to men in the way that they do based on how they saw their mothers relate. Now, what about when you have a situation, though, when you compound that with other issues that might take place in the home? For example, you might take a sister who was molested as a child. Now, of course, that's a very emotionally painful experience, one that she could harbor, the results of which could manifest as, you know, all kinds of emotional problems. But now she grows up. Now she's married. Okay? Now, she may still be carrying some of these emotional, this emotional baggage, for lack of a better term. Of course, not her fault. I mean, she just, nobody ever taught her how to deal with this. Now, how would her husband, boyfriend, whatever, or even a brother, you know, somebody that wanted to assist this sister, if he has not, if he's not even clear, because oftentimes brothers in relationships, you know, brothers aren't necessarily, that might not be their trade. They might not be psychologists or, you know, dealing with the mind or, you know, anything. So how is a brother supposed to then engage the sister in a healthy manner if she may be dealing with issues that, number one, he himself didn't cause and might not have any idea where to begin, for lack of a better term, treating?
I mean, that's definitely going very, very deep, brother.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I mean, with those kind of scenarios, right, that's where you have your psychological and your spiritual counseling then. Psychological and spiritual counseling. And what we tend to do as members of the Assertive Society, one of our major and primary our tools for dealing with that is meditation. And that brings into mind because there's the founder of our society, Ra'un Nefer Amen the First, just wrote a book called Wa'eb, right, which speaks to the comedic approach towards meditation, where you use meditation to help you deal with behavior patterns, modes of functioning, to change your conditioned behavior responses to help manifest your, as we call it, your divinity and your potential to manifest all your possibilities and unlimited power, right, and to really bring peace into your being. So when we have someone have, all of us to some degree have these traumatic, more or less traumatic experiences. The question is that how do you deal with them? How do you resolve them? How do you assist someone in dealing with those issues? And that's where the spiritual and psychological counseling is absolutely important, right? The health piece from the standpoint of nutrition can help mitigate some of the tension, but it won't deal with those deep-seated behavioral patterns that are sown into the spirit. Meditation is what we truly recommend. And on that note, right, the new book has come out, Y-Eb, and I encourage everyone to go to Tawi.com to make sure, TawiNetwork.com to make sure that you get a copy of that book.
Awesome.
And also, I'm sure it will be available for sale at the event that we have on Sunday in Philadelphia.
Okay, speaking of the Tawi Network, brother, since you brought it up, I just want to mention to the listeners that on the 16th of this month, on Saturday, November the 16th, I will be also interviewing Brother Sanu Pera, and we're going to be talking about the Tawi Network and, you know, what it is and, you know, how you can actually benefit from, you know, just being a part of the Tawi Network and, you know, how it can assist you and friends and family, and actually to help heal this world that we're living in. So make sure that you tune in on Saturday, November the 16th. I'll be talking to Brother Sanu Pera, and we'll be discussing the Tawi Network. But today, again, my special guest is Shechem Tep Raim Sa'ah. We're talking about healing the family. He's going to be in Philadelphia this weekend on, let me just get my information correct, Sunday, November the 10th, and he's going to be doing a Healing the Family workshop. He's going to be talking to the men from 3 to 4:30, and be discussing with the women from 5 to 6:30. And let me give you the address if you're in that area and you definitely want to make this workshop. The address is 6008 Germantown Avenue, and that's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And if you'd like more information on that, here's the telephone number to call. It's area code 215-843-0900. Again, that's area code 215-843-0900. Some of the topics, this is going to be an awesome workshop, everybody. Some of the topics are going to be talking from men, for example. They're going to be discussing the libido, the menstrual issues, hypertension, mood swings, menopause, and after the baby. And I know I wish I was there for that one, because a lot of times after women have children, they go through something emotionally. There's a after the baby phase that brothers need to be aware of. As far as women, some of the topics that you'll be hearing are, brother, we'll be talking about erectile dysfunction, prostate health, hypertension, ambition, and andropause. I assume, brother, that it would be the male equivalent of menopause?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And it's important to understand that when you list these topics, what we're doing, the workshop is for men to help understand women health issues, and women health issues with reproductive health. And the workshop for women is designed to help women to gain more insight in terms of men's sexual health issues and men's overall health issues in general as it affects sexual health. That's critical to put in that perspective. And one other thing I want to say, brother, in terms of the there is a donation that's required. They could always call that number to find out what that is. But there's a donation
okay.
that's requested.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, brother, I can definitely vouch for your teachings. I've sat at your feet up in D.C. at several of the lectures that you've conducted up in D.C. I've interviewed you several times. And for the listeners, if you're in that area, you definitely need to make it a point to try to get there. The brother's going to be bringing information that is vital to helping to keep the family strong, helping to keep the family together. It's more than, you know, if you've grown up in the black church at all in your life, you've heard the phrase that the family that prays together stays together. Well, that's pretty broad. There are more specifics that you have to do. After you pray together, then there are some other things that you have to do to keep your family healthy, to keep your family strong physically and mentally. To the listener online, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to speak with Shechem Tepraim Sa'a, if you just press 1 on your telephone, then that will alert me that you have a question or a comment, and I can come right to you. Again, this is going to be an awesome workshop, and I encourage everybody to come. Brother, these are issues that are outlined, for example, that, you know, oftentimes people just have never delved into in any type of workshop where they actually engage in discussion about it, you know. For example, you know, you're going to be talking to the men about women's, for example, mood swings. You know what I mean? Brothers are affected by that. And if you don't know how to handle it or actually what is causing it, then being in that situation and not being able to, oftentimes brothers have felt like, well, how do I maintain my peace in a situation if, for example, with a mood swing, it comes upon me unexpectedly, and then when it does come upon me, I'm not prepared because I haven't been trained to deal with the psychological issues that might be causing it. For another, after the baby, again, as I mentioned, there are many brothers and sisters out here who have had children together, and there is that phase after the baby is born that oftentimes the brother might feel neglected because the baby's getting all of the attention, you know. That could be one symptom. I'm sure that there are others. Menstrual issues, when a woman is, you know, during that time of the month, when there may be some emotional issues going on or some mood swings or whatever. This is all going to be discussed at the workshop, and I commend you, brother, for even being able to have done enough research to be even able to discuss these topics, because it is so, so vital and so necessary. If we could take one, brother, could you talk about, because many men have heard about menopause. What is andropause?
Well, andropause is the equivalent to, it's the male equivalent to what they call menopause. But basically what we're talking about, as in menopause and in andropause, we have a hormonal shift. Hormones are shifting. The high level of testosterone and the other androgens that the males have in his body begin to decline, right, at a certain age. I mean, once a man gets into his early 50s, right, we have a drop in hormones. And those drop in hormones manifest itself as an equivalent drop in terms of the male reproductive response, his sexual response, his overall libido, you know, his capacity to sustain the erection, the quality and quantity of his sperm, spermatic fluid, et cetera, right? It begins to decline because of the hormonal drop. but there's a lot that you could do with it. And there's a lot of emotional and psychological impact that goes along with high levels of testosterone that we find in young males that you also see decline in terms of drive, in terms of get up and go, et cetera. But that can be dealt with. Similar in terms of females. Females have an estrogen shift, right? And the estrogen shift manifests itself as a somewhat of a disruption, so to speak, or lack of continuity in the normal homeostasis of a female body. All of that can be dealt with through nutrition, right? The major problem that men have and women have, and we see very pronounced in women, right, in terms of going through that transition from a mother who has capacity to conceive and through menopause, right, is a lack of nutrition. Whenever you go through transition, you have to be very well fortified. You have to have enough support there to deal with that transition. What happens is our women as well as our men go through a transition, right, with poor nutrition, with poor support. They already the overall quality of nutrition in the blood is already compromised. The health of the liver is already compromised. The health of the kidneys is already compromised. So when you go through a very transition situation with compromised functioning in organ systems like the liver and the kidney, it manifests itself as this explosion. You know, with women you have the hot flashes, et cetera. You have the different mood swings. With men you have mood swings, but it's less of a libido drive in terms of men. But all of that can be dealt with because of nutrition. So we're going through a changing situation when we're not ready to make the change. We're not fully supported. But what I would like to do is just make a little bit broader than that, right? When we look at health and vitality, right, because that's what we're really talking about, all these things in terms of libido for males or for female, menstrual issues for females, hypertension, mood swings, you know, menopause, you know, after the baby, in terms of men, erectile dysfunction, prostate health, hypertension, and then again, you know, the lack of ambition, andropause, all of those things. There's a few factors, right, that's really underlining all of these elements, right? What we have is a female system and a male system. Both of them, for the most part, has the same basic nutritional needs. For the most part, there's some differences, right? And when you underline that nutritional foundation is not there, it manifests itself in these effects. And we're looking at the effects based on the system, meaning the female system, the male system that they're manifesting in. But the problem is that the same kidney deficiencies and liver deficiencies that manifest that's happening in the male or female manifest in the male this way and manifest in the female this way. So the question is, what about our lifestyle? What about our diet? What about our nutritional support that doesn't give us the type of substance and structural support to be able to deal with these issues? When we talk about health and vitality, one of the first elements we got to look at is a nutritious diet, period, a nutritious diet. And all of these things are underlined by nutrition, every one of them, right? I mean, there's things in terms of toxins. We can talk about environmental toxins in terms of the water, et cetera. But if you have a nutritious diet, a very good nutritious diet, right, the first thing that would help you want that nutritious diet to do is to promote and sustain awareness, clarity, reasoning capacity. I mean, the most important thing about your nutrition is that it has to nurture the brain. And all these other things we're talking about are functions, right, that are critical, but what controls these functions, what runs these functions, the health of the brain. So if your diet and your nutrition doesn't promote, sustain an awakeness, a clarity, and a reasoning capacity, you know, a health of the brain, so you can reason, you have clarity, right, then at the very beginning you compromise. If your nutrition does not promote and sustain energy production, meaning if you're not eating food to help give you a sustained amount of energy, maintaining the erection requires energy, requires life force, requires vitality, right? So if your nutritional base does not nurture you, does not help you provide good energy, if your respiratory system is compromised, such as if you're smoking marijuana or you're smoking cigarettes, and your capacity to take in good healthy oxygen in has been compromised. These alveoli has been damaged. You know, you're causing all types of plaque buildup on your arteries where that oxygen cannot get to the blood, etc. And if you're reducing that capacity to taking that oxygen intake, then your overall capacity to produce energy is low. So you can forget about a libido. You forget about a good, healthy organ system. In fact, when you think about it from that perspective, every organ system in the body, which means every function in the body, requires energy. So if you function in such a way where you compromise your capacity to take the oxygen from the external environment, then you're choking your life force at the very beginning. So everything is going to function poorly. Digestion. You know, if you're eating a lot of greasy foods, a lot of very sugary foods, a lot of processed foods, foods that's void of nutrients, a lot of, you know, sodas, you know, and what's happening is you're destroying your digestive process. You know, you're having all types of problems in terms of constipation or diarrhea, or you're having issues in terms of pain in your digestion. That translates into, we say poor digestion, but what that translates into is poor assimilation, which means that you're not getting the nutrients from your food into the blood. If you're not getting the nutrients from the food into your blood, then you're nutritionally starving. And every function in the body requires nutrition. So even before we even look at the specific manifestation of erectile dysfunction, you know, prostate health, hypertension, you know, menopause, you know, mood swings, if you're not getting the basic elements you need in your body in terms of oxygen, in terms of healthy water, sufficient water, in terms of nutrients because of poor digestion, poor respiratory function, right? And then you add on top of that the inability compromise elimination. You impact, you can't pass your bowels properly. You know, you're not drinking the water, so your urine is all clogged and is yellow. You know, you're straining your kidneys. You're causing problems with hypertension. You're causing major problems that has to manifest itself as reproductive dysfunction in male as well as female. And any transition you go through, be it andropause or menopause, have to be significantly compromised. So the point is that even though we can look at the specific illness, that's only one of the fishes in the net of a toxic waste pool or behavior pattern that's causing us ill health as a whole. So what we have to deal with is look at our overall pattern of eating and how that impacts critical systems, the respiratory system, the digestive system, the limitary system, the reproductive system, the circulatory system. And once we look at it from that perspective, then we have much deeper insight in terms of what the change requires and how we need to change, and how we need to work together in a family to create that change. And when a man see a young lady having a problem with her menstrual cycle or mood swings, he's going to look into nutrition. How can I help you nutritionally? What supplements do I need to help you with? Let me make sure I'm not getting upset with you and angry with you. When a woman see a man with a problem in terms of premature ejaculation, can't sustain the urge, well, baby, let me see if I can do to help you. Have you did your breathing? Are you doing your exercise, right? Are you taking your supplements, right? Let me make sure I'm feeding you the correct stuff. Let me make sure the diet is free from excessive sugar, free from processed foods. It's healthy food, fresh fruits and vegetables. Let me make sure we're not eating too late, the time when the body needs to prepare and regenerate. Right? Those are the kind of things that we work together on that can change the whole scenario. But what's most important, and you said in the very beginning, not only would it charge the scenario from the standpoint of how their function and their capacity to relate to each other in a very intimate, caring kind of way, but it begins to change the generational pattern. That's critical. That's necessary for our survival as a people.
Well, you know, Shechem, again, you've said a lot of very, very interesting and profound, and shared a lot of interesting and profound information. And you mentioned earlier in the discussion, we talked about perspective. And if you could change someone's perspective, then you can actually reach that individual and enact some sort of change. Now, I know that when it comes to people, oftentimes people associate some of these manifestations, like could be heart disease, kidney disease, arthritis, gout, whatever the, you know, dis-ease manifests as, many people just associate that with getting old, period. You know, that once you get old, you're going to get these things. You know, you're going to get arthritis. You're going to, you know, you're going to start wearing glasses. You're going to, you know, all of these things. The perspective for a lot of people is that a lot of these things just come with old age. But you're saying then that if, or even erectile dysfunction or, you know, other things of that nature. For example, though, you're saying that if you can change your diet from, and I actually like to use the word live it as opposed to die it, because anything with the word die in it, good. So if you can change your diet to a live it, okay, then with that live it, you can eliminate or eradicate some of these manifestations regardless of the age. Matter of fact, if you wear glasses at 60, you might be able to take them off. Or if you're not getting a, you know, an erection at 60, you can regain that based on changing the way you're eating, your eating patterns, correct?
Most definitely. Most definitely. In fact, in terms of the whole eyeglass piece, there's a gentleman in the Washington, D.C. area where I'm currently residing, right, who just did a workshop, or is going to do a workshop this coming Thursday. This is a gentleman who was born, if I'm trying to remember correctly, almost blind or serious sight problem. And this individual took a, they said there was nothing they could do for him, and he went through this whole process of doing these series of exercise to the point right now he's fully, he's got 20/20 vision, and he's teaching classes as we speak to individuals, no matter what your health, no matter what your eye issue is, might be, right, how to restore your vision to a proper level, right? So there's a whole group of exercise. This guy's going around the country doing that. But to, end, but to get back to the part you said in terms of as we get older. Sure, we all get older. And as we get older, you know, there's a cycle of life. We're born, you know, we grow, we mature, and then we die, right? So that's a cycle of life. We got that, you know. But the issue is that when you hit that top phase, when you reach your height of maturity, do you go down at an 85-degree angle, or do you go down at a 10 or 15-degree angle? The question is, what I'm saying is that, yes, you know, you're going to begin to, your level of functionality, right, may not quite be the same as it was when you were 16 or 18 or 21 or 28, right? But you should always be functional, right? The name of the game, you could become old and still be functional. You know, being functional means, yes, I can still maintain an erection. Being functional means, yes, I still have good eyesight. Being functional means I don't have to run to the bathroom every 10 or 15 minutes because I have enlarged prostate or because I have this urgent urination. Right? Being functional, I mean, I still have vigor. Right? I can still think. I can still reason. You know, I can still have my memory is still good. You know, I can still exercise. I can still enjoy my family. You know, yes, you could do this. You can do that. But the issue is that we have never been taught, no blame. We have never been taught to see, to know how to take care of our health and how to have a whole health program that's built into our family, into our community, that promotes health. We've been given a very, very toxic dietary approach and understand about diet as very young children. Everything we see on TV promotes, you know, the fast foods, you know, and the junk food. So therefore, we have bought in to a way of living, right, and a way of eating, you know, that says that, you know, that you don't have to do anything. Just eat what you want. Follow your likes. Follow your dislikes. If you don't eat it, you don't like it, don't eat it. If you like it, you eat it. Eat as much as you want, right? Whenever you want, you know. That's so the issue, we have to retrain the way we behave. We have to deal with, we have to be just as scientific and as intelligent, you know, about, you know, how we eat as we may be about if we was trying to put somebody on the moon. And we can't. And we could do it joyfully, and we could do it, you know, with fun. I've been doing it for the last 40 years. You can. You know, so the issue is that it's education that we miss. So the word is, yes, you'll be getting older, right? But getting older does not mean that you decline. You know, I'm 62 years old, and I will to be 128 and still very much functional. But just, I have to consciously work on it. I'm not, and I'm only saying consciously work on it because I've been given a whole mode of perspective and a lifestyle, no blame, from my childhood that says that this is what you eat. This is what you don't eat. This is how you behave. This is how you function. So as I changed that, my vitality and my life was changed. And that's available.
You know,
for
when you talk about the, we talked about older people. Now let's just talk about younger people for a moment, because if you know, studies have said that, you know, that our children are larger than they've ever been. You know, that we've got a society full of obese children. I think I read a study somewhere where they talked about how the, in the United States that the children are larger. You know, we have the largest rate of obesity amongst children than any other country on the planet. You know, and part of that, I'm sure, is because of the diet, you know, what they're eating. Like you just mentioned, everything that you just said, you know, eat what you want, when you want. If you like it, eat it. If you don't eat it. Even if it's healthy for you, if it's good for you but it doesn't taste good, don't eat it. If it's bad for you but it tastes good, then eat it. You know, that seems to be the mentality. Now, but as parents of these children, the responsibility is on us, you know. I remember there was a movie once, Halle Berry was in it, I can't remember the name of it, but she had this obese child, and she was just blaming the kid for being obese and beating him up for slapping him around for being obese, like it was his fault, like he was cooking for himself, you know. So if you could just talk about then the responsibility, because these children who are growing up are the future. You know, so when we leave here, they're gonna still be here. Hopefully, if they outlive us, could you talk about the responsibility? Because we are talking about the family, men relating to women, women relating to men. But out of this relating, oftentimes children are produced. So if you could talk about the children and the role that we may have as parents to these children, to help them to find their place in the family, a healthy place in the family. Knowing what their contributions are to be, expectations even, in the family.
Brother, do we have time for that one?
Okay.
I think in terms of perspective, right?
Yeah.
As a people, we have to change our perspective in terms of what our responsibility to a child is, what it means to be a parent, and what our responsibility is to a child. Oftentimes you hear us speak about our ancestors and our great ancestors and what we've accomplished, right, and those who came before us, how they struggled, you know, and all the things that we have today is because of what the shoulders that we stand on and the greatness of our antiquity. We talk about that. Well, we don't understand that, you know, from our perspective, right, that life is continual. It's a continual. And so when someone comes through you, right, they depend on you totally and completely for their emotional, spiritual, mental, and physical health and development. Totally and completely, right? I mean, the so-called human being is the only creature, right, that comes into the world that needs to be totally cared for and taught and cultivated and reared. A child comes into the world that you make that conception, that child is there growing inside that woman, how she thinks, how she behaves, how she handles her emotions, all is affecting that child. When that child, that determines the child's security, the child's sense of confidence. When that child comes out of the womb, that child depends on the mama and the daddy to control that environment, to keep a very peaceful, secure environment. That child cannot secure its own environment. It cannot determine the peace that's in that environment. It's not responsible for the joy, you know, in that environment. It's the adult's responsibility for that. And if you don't create a very peaceful and joyful and just and ordered environment, then psychologically, emotionally, you are deranging that child from the very get. Not to mention now, if that child requires good health and nutrition to develop all his organ system, to develop his brain. So if you're feeding that child material, you know, that's not nurturing, that's not rich in vitamins and minerals, that's not free from processed food, then you are hindering that child's capacity to develop and to function. And when that child's brain doesn't develop well, when that child's emotional system doesn't mature, then what happens is you have a situation where you're blaming the child for behavior pattern, the motor function that you created. You know,
wow.
And so we got the attention deficit disorder. We have our children's inability to focus and concentrate, right? That's our problem. That's
mm-hmm.
our issue, right? We have to take full responsibility. It's one thing to say we don't know, but once you find out you have the responsibility to rush to counsel, get some help, some assistance somewhere, right,
mm-hmm.
to change their behavior. Because a child is not responsible for their behavior. And the child is a child from a spiritual standpoint, until they're 28. Why? Because the brain don't fully develop until between 25 and 28. And if you're feeding the child, if you create an environment where you're smoking cigarettes, you're doing marijuana, you're drinking alcohol, right? You got bad foods, then you're destroying that child's capacity to be functional, to be reasonable, to be mature, to be a productive citizen in the society.
Mm.
So therefore, that's our responsibility. So we look at all our children. I'm not mad at any of our children. It's our responsibility. They are a reflection of what we did or did not do.
Brother, you have broken it down, man. I mean, I thought we were going to need more time in it, but I mean, you succinctly put it out there, and you definitely articulated it in a way that is so clear that, you know, it is our responsibility. And oftentimes I think that parents dealing with adult issues, dealing with adult stuff. You're working, you got bills to pay, you got to balance the, you know, the budget, the household budget. You're dealing with adult things, you know. Oftentimes the children get lost in that, you know, because they might not be getting the attention that they deserve. I mean, you might take a brother that works hard all day long. I mean, he's dealing with a whole lot of craziness on his job, supervisor giving him a hard time. He comes home, I now want to get on the floor, play marbles, or, you know, that relate to a child in that way, you know, that the child needs to grow into a healthy, mature, stable, you know, kid, but or child. But, yeah, that piece is so very vital, and I think that you hit it. You hit it. You definitely hit it on the head. Because
I mean, I don't want to be.
Yes, go ahead.
I don't want to be so hard on us as parents, because oftentimes many of us did not receive the same type of care. So we were children, and we grew up to become children, right? And we still functioning and displaying multiple behavioral patterns of children, because we never had an adult model, so we don't know what the adult model looks like. I understand it. I got that, right? But once we become aware that there's something about my behavior pattern, my mode of functioning, right, that is not healthy for me, my mate, and my child, then you need to get assistance. You need to get help.
Mm-hmm.
That's our responsibility. We need to go to some these different organizations out here that are really working very, very hard to help people, you know, to come into their own, to mature, to develop, right? In our Sarasota societies, we offer classes in different things, like meditation, in terms of we call our Africans our philosophical concepts, you know, and other things that are diet, nutrition, etc., you know, that could be very helpful in terms of changing your perspective and giving you a different viewpoint.
And I'd like to encourage the brothers out there to don't be afraid of counseling. You know, oftentimes women are the first ones to run and get counseling. You know, they're the first ones to, you know, say, okay, listen, honey, we need some help. You know, I'm going to go talk to somebody, you know. But oftentimes people think that in getting counseling, it is an acceptance or proof that I'm not doing something right. Okay, I'm not doing something right to the point that it's reached this level now where we have to actually go seek counseling, you know. And I think oftentimes brothers resist that for that reason, because it's almost that, like, brothers feel like that is an indictment of them, you know. And wherever they are in their life, you know, oh, so the relationship has crumbled to the point now, or the family structure has crumbled to the point now where we actually need to go get counseling, you know, from somebody else, from another person, another, and, you know, they use the term human, you know. So I think that brothers sometimes feel that it's an indictment on them when the wife says, honey, I think we need counseling, you know. So I would suggest to the brothers, no, it's not necessarily an indictment on you per se, because just like Shechem Tebraim mentioned, if you weren't taught or reared in a fashion that would allow you to be healthy mentally, you know, spiritually, then it's not your fault. Nobody's pointing their finger at you and saying that there's something wrong with you. It's just looking at the total structure of the home and saying that it might be dysfunctional. It's not necessarily your fault. It's not her fault, but it needs to be fixed, correct?
That's absolutely correct. And to add to that, brother, which that was very, very insightful, to add to that is that, I mean, what brothers have to understand is that it takes a community to rear a man. It takes a community to rear women. One of the things that we had in our tradition in Africa, right, in other places throughout the diaspora, is we had initiations. You know, when young boys and young girls got to a certain age, they went through initiation process. When our societies were intact, we had initiation processes. And the reason why you had the initiation processes is for the same reason why that fits into that whole factor that the so-called human, quote-unquote, man has to be cultivated. You know, everyone, man is the only creature put on planet that has to be consciously cultivated, right? So if you're growing up as a young boy, right, you have to learn the ways of a man. You have to learn the ways of how the responsibility of a man is. How should a man function with his woman? How does that man turn into a father, right? A parent, right? How do that men work with other men? And you had men groups that would take these young boys on the side, standing with women, right? And they would teach them the culture, the science, the traditions behind what it means to be a man, what's expected of you, you know, what's expected in terms of your responsibility to this woman, to this children. They were taught that, right? So even though all of us may have been brought in our own individual families, some of us had men, fathers, some of us didn't. Some of us had dysfunctional fathers. So none of us got this training, right? So all of us are at a deficit. So it's no shame in saying, I don't know. You know, the mature thing to say is, well, let me come together with brothers who are working to do this, who's working to rechange this behavior pattern, right, and come together collectively under some qualified leadership, right, so we can get the insight that we need to be able to come together and fix our families, because my family is only as good as your family. I can't raise my children in a vacuum. My children are going to play with your children, go to school with your children. So how you function, how you behave, an example you give to your wife and to your children is something that I want to be a part of, and vice versa, so we can raise our children and cultivate ourselves and bring out and get our community back intact. If we had that kind of network in our community, we won't have these problems with these young brothers. We won't have a whole jail full of young brothers. That's scandalous. That's scandalous.
And how then, brother, would you say that you address the fact that oftentimes young men don't really like to talk about, you know, how they feel, even with their mates. You know what I mean? You know, a woman might be asking a brother all day long, honey, what's wrong? You know, what's wrong? Talk to me, you know? And he might be feeling all kinds of things, but might not know exactly what he's feeling, how to interpret what he's feeling, much less articulate what he's feeling.
That's correct.
But all that comes out is, I'm all right. You know, I'm all right, you know, and so that's all she gets is, you know, I'm all right, you know, but it's clear that he's not all right, but because he doesn't know how to articulate it and express it, then, you know, that kind of hinders the healing process. How do we address that?
Brother, I have personally been there.
Okay.
I have personally been there, you know. I mean, we all, you know, it's there's something built in our DNA as men, you know. You know, men represent the yang aspect of life, right? Females represent the yin aspect of life, right? And that yang aspect of life, you know, we say that the yang represents the will, the potential to be, right? And the female aspect of life represents the power, the ability, the power, the resources that make it happen. So you got a watermelon seed, and then you have the dirt. You put the seed represents the potential, the will, and the dirt represents the power to take everything that's in that seed and bring it to its full manifestation, right? So one thing with that seed, that will, right? That will tend to be, anytime a man perceives that his potential is compromised, or anything that he perceives is that's going to question his potential, his ability to be, right? He tends to want to protect it, right? Because what's inside of a man that really makes him a man is this drive to manifest his potential. Everyone has it, but for male, it's very, very important, right? The whole concept about inability to get an erection, can't sustain an erection, men take it very seriously, not because that's a physical problem, not because anything wrong with them, but they're associated with their potential to be, the ability to unfold and manifest their will. No man was put in that situation. So what we have to understand as brothers is that our capacity, right, to express our potential is directly tied into one another. It's not a separate reality. My capacity to do what I have to do to be able to express my potential, do what I need to do, is tied into how I interrelate, interface, and communicate and work with other brothers. That's very important, right? You know, so, and we also realize that we don't know. And there's no blame that we don't know, right? And it's a certain humility that goes along with saying, I do not know, right? Because most of us don't know. That's not a bad thing.
Right.
The issue is that we have the potential to know everything. So as we work together and come together and talk together and pool our resources, right, then we find out that what I don't know, you know. What you don't know, he knows. What he don't know, he knows. And to collectively, we can give ourselves the type of the knowledge base that we need to change the way we behave, change the way we function, right, and show that leadership that we need to show in terms of righteous men, correct men, you know, a responsible men to our women, to our children, and to our community.
Brother, well, very well spoken. I want to give the information concerning the workshop, because I know if you're anybody listening to this interview and you're in the Philadelphia area, even if you have to drive, you want to make this because, again, this information is so vital, and you're just getting, this has just been an hour show, and this is like an overview of, you're just getting a taste of what you'll be getting at this workshop. Again, that's going to be this Sunday, November the 10th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the address for the workshop is going to be held at 6008 Germantown Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And let me say that there's going to be a donation required. You can call this number to get more information. It's area code 215-843-0900. Again, that's 215-843-0900. He's going to be talking to the men first from 3 to 4:30, and then there'll be a slight break, and then he'll be talking with the women from 5 to 6:30. Brother, talk about the women for a second. How is it when you're talking to women about men? Now, oftentimes I think that that should be received very well because you're a man, so you're talking, you're representing brothers when you're speaking, and oftentimes you have people that do workshops, women that do workshops about men, but being a man, talking to women about men's issues and how they can better relate to the man, how have you found that women to be receptive of the information that you're sharing coming from a man?
Very, very much so. Very much okay. So. You know, our women are definitely, you know, open to assist, you know, to work with, right, to comprehend. What I find is that some of the same uneducated perspective that men have about women, women tend to have about men. I mean, in terms of the whole issue of reproductive performance, for men, right, there's certain perceptions and certain misperceptions that women have, and the same thing in terms of men, you know. And there's no blame because no one has really been taught, you know. And so we tend to approach each other with these misperceptions, have these expectations based on these misperceptions, right? And then we get confused, and then we start blaming each other, and then we start moving away from each other or getting attitudes towards one another because of these misperceptions. So when women are really given a good perspective in terms of, you know, what's required in terms of a male sexual performance, right? How to translate in terms of food, how to translate in terms of vitality, etc., right? Women tend to be very, very on board to respond to that. But the more importantly is that when both of them get it, right, both of them will begin to really work together and realize that, baby, you're not the problem. I'm not the problem, right? We both have deficits based on lack of knowledge in terms of what we're doing. And as we change these deficits, we both grow, we both develop, we both able to now bring more to the relationship, right? And we're much more energetic and much more capable in terms of our performance. What I want to say is that I want to make sure people understand, even though I'm talking generically somewhat in terms of what the issues are, in the workshop I will deal with very specific solutions in terms of remedies, in terms of herbs, right, in terms of nutraceuticals that men and women could do for specific issues, you know, specific but at the same time general, because once again, you know, some of the same underlying issues manifesting in different ways. I mean, I could tell you that a woman that had a problem with PMS, a lot of emotional issues prior to her cycle, a woman that's having problems with a lot of heavy bleeding, right, and pain for menses, right? I could tell you that what's underlining all of that, right, is a very sick and congested, you know, stagnant liver, Chinese call stagnant liver qi, and a deficiency in liver blood. And that's manifesting itself several different ways, right? But it's only one or two underlining problems, you know? And we say something very similar to the male. So it looks like we got all these different issues, but we don't have different issues. We have we have significant underlying deficiencies in toxic states within organ systems that's manifesting in multiple different ways. And that's why when I speak, I try to speak about what are the underlying deficiencies and the various ways they manifest and what can we go about in our lifestyle and our daily living and supplementation and our changing in behavior to address these underlining principles, because that's what the deal is. It's not like we got these multiple different issues. You know, we have a very few issues that's manifesting itself in multiple different ways, and we deal with them individually different kind of ways. No, I mean, like painful menses, you know, it's not something that's natural. I mean, a woman should have some type, maybe some discomfort, but when our women have to deal with medication on the floor, you know, a young girl is going through major pain. That's nothing normal about that. You know, fibroid tumors is something that begins someplace and it builds. And our conventional health system watch them grow. They watch them grow, and then they get to the point and say, okay, well, you need a hysterectomy. You know, you need a myomectomy, right? But they watch them grow. So what was the problem that caused the growth? You could trace that problem back to that same painful menses, that first painful period. You know, that those heavy clots. You know, or deficient blood flow. You could trace all that stuff back there. Right. So we have underlying issues that's tied into dietary ill health, right, and just lack of knowledge that's manifesting in multiple different ways. And once we address those underlying issues, right, you see that it's not that we need multiple different things. It's just just a few things we need to change in a very profound type of way, right, to address multiple issues.
Baba, you have definitely convinced. See, now, I wasn't really trying to drive from Richmond all the way up to Philly for this workshop, man, but the more you talk, I mean, you have really, really shed some light on some issues.
It will be yeah. Recorded. You know, so okay. I'm sure if you call the store after we finish it, that the brothers over there could help you. The brother Watutu Kamu, who's the one who's in charge, who's and responsible for the Philadelphia community. I'm sure he will make arrangements for you to get the CD. Whoever else wants it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Baba, I'm sure that again, just it's got to be rewarding for you to. Because obviously, with the information that you've obtained, you had to study. You know what I mean. And then to see the fruits of your labor, the changing of lives. You know, you're sharing information with people, watching their lives change. Again, watching the light go on and people getting it, and then seeing the fruit of that. You know, happier, healthier, holistic families. Bob, I want to thank you for the work that you've been doing for all of the years. Again. You know, I've sat in your classes in D.C., you know, I've interviewed you several times, and I know that the information that you're bringing is powerful, and, you know, to share the information and for the impact that you're making on helping to change lives and, you know, helping to increase the quality of people's lives, I want to say tuau, thank you so much for all of the work that you've done and continue to do.
Well, and I'll be remiss if I didn't say I'm thankful for what I'm able to share, but I sit at the feet of a very great and profound teacher, you know, and that's Ra'un Efraimen, you know, the author of multiple Manunitaya books, and the latest one being YF, the Book of Meditation, and also, you know, because of our different, as we call HESPOOs, our communities in the Philadelphia community under the leadership of Jorge Madu, I'm sorry, or Tuti Kamu, and I was in the D.C. community where I am under the leadership of Wahi Madu, Ryan Carmen, and the Queen Mothers. It's because of these structural communities and in our hierarchical structure and that they provide the kind of environment, you know, for those of us who take these teachings very seriously and work with them, right, to be able to grow and to develop and to be able to share what they have shared with us, you know. So we acknowledge the fact that we were able to do this, you know, as an extension of their wisdom, their insight, their hard work, and their sacrifice. So, you know, I just want to make sure that we give honor to the one who honors do.
Absolutely. I am definitely, as a matter of fact, I just ordered the book and the CD, YAB, the healing of the book. Yeah, just got it. Yeah, well, not got it, but just ordered it. And I'd like to also, you know, give props to Brother Orwa Hayimetara and Kamada. I've actually sat at his feet as well, taking classes with him from him. And I agree with you. I concur completely that he, along with Brother Raul Nefer Amen, Shechem Shechem, I don't know the Orwa in Philadelphia, but the teachings that I have received just from the brothers and the sisters that have that are a part of the Osirisset Society have impacted my life, and for the better. And I again concur with you 100%, Baba. And we've gone over. We've got like two minutes past the hour. But any closing words for the listeners, Baba? I'm going to again once I say farewell to you. I'm going to again announce the date, the time, everything, because this workshop is so necessary. But before we go, any parting words?
Well, I encourage everyone to come out. You know, we have a lot to share. It's going to be a good environment, vegetarian food. You know, going to be a lot of books for sale. We have supplements that you can also purchase, right, and some very good, healthy, and functional people. So definitely come on out. We have a lot to offer.
All right. Well, Baba, again, thank you so much. My special guest, everybody, has been, if you never heard of him before, you won't forget him after this interview, is Shechem Tebrahim Sa'a. He is a nutritionist. He's an author. He's a counselor. He's a priest. He's a lecturer. He's an educator, as you can see. Definitely make the workshop. It could change your life and the lives of those that you love. Shechem, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Everyone, that was Shechem Tebrahim Sa'a. Awesome, awesome interview. Awesome, brother. And, again, I encourage everybody to make it out to the workshop in Philly. Again, that's going to be on Sunday, November the 10th, and that's going to be, it's going to start at 3 p.m. He's going to start speaking with the men. That's going to be from 3 to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then it'll be a slight break, and then at 5, he'll start talking with the sisters, and that will be from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let me give the address again. That's going to be 6008 Germantown Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And if you'd like more information, that is 215 area code 843-0900. That's 215-843-0900. That's this Sunday, not next Sunday. This Sunday coming up, November the 10th. Don't miss it. Again, I want to say, again, you don't want to miss a show coming up that I'll be speaking with Brother Sanu Pura. We're going to be talking about the Tawi Network, what it is, how it can benefit you by getting more information, maybe becoming a part of that network and seeing how it can help impact the lives of you, those that you love, and you can make some money too. So definitely tune in for that show. That, again, is going to be on Saturday, November the 16th. My special guest will be Sanu Pura. Again, I want to thank a couple of people for helping to make this interview possible. Brother Orwa Hechi Metara and Comet, Shechem Nu Senbita. And, again, thank you for taking the time out to tune in, to listen. You could be doing other things. I thank you for taking the time to spend the afternoon with me. Listen, everybody, have a wonderful evening. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Have a great weekend. And, you know, you can follow me on Twitter. You can do that by, I'm at Jawanza, that's J-A-W-A-N, like Nigeria, Z like Zimbabwe, A, Preston, P-R-E-S-T-O-N, at Twitter. Follow me and I'll follow you back. Hey, I love you. Peace and blessings. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Yeah, enjoy the rest. Yeah,
Yeah.